Hello, everybody, and welcome to the first ever Unpub download. I'm Daryl, the organizer of Unpub, and with me is Mike Mullins. Hey, Mike.
Hello, everybody. How you doing? I guess they can't answer.
No, they can't.
That's kind of silly.
Or they're just talking back to their screen, and all their friends, family, and coworkers are going,
I think I like that better. Hey, can you guys wave? Wave to the camera, everybody.
You didn't wave.
I'm talking about you, yes.
Anywho, so we're driving back from PAX East in Boston, Massachusetts, for those that are geographically challenged. And it is a six-hour drive, normally it is a six-hour drive.
Normally, yes.
And we're, back to Delaware. And we got hung up behind a traffic accident for a little over 3 hours. So we were virtually parked on 83 for 3 hours between exits.
It was one of those things where you just don't know if you're ever going to start going again. So we just kind of... That also explained why we're a little loopy right now. We might sound kind of goofy, but it's because we are.
Yeah, we left PAX at 4 o'clock, and so with 6 hours, technically, we should have been home by now, and we're still in Connecticut. I have no idea where. It's dark out. We're both tired, and so we had the idea of, hey, let's just record a podcast while we're driving of our thoughts of the event, of Unpub, of games we've played, and just post it on the air, do everything live in the car, so no editing, no censoring. So I apologize now in advance if anything slips out. Like I said, we are tired. So if you have little ones, just usher them out now.
Send
just
them
in case.
The F to
bed. Read them Sam though. Jackson's Go the F to Sleep.
Yes, that's incredible. I do have to say, though, that the idea to do this is not unique. If you guys aren't listening to the Happy Mitten podcast, I suggest you check it out. They did a great episode where they just recorded a bunch of them driving out to Protospiel in Milwaukee, and it was really cool, just like game design talk, and they did a little bit of coverage at the convention itself. So I wanted to do a hat tip to Happy Mitten Games. I just did the like pantomime of tipping my hat.
Would it be more of like a mitten tip?
No. How do you tip a mitten?
I don't know. If it's Happy Mitten, hey, we're tipping our mitten to Happy Mitten.
Do you know why it's called Happy Mitten?
I'm assuming that one of them is a baker.
No. Do you know what state looks like a mitten?
That would be Minnesota.
No!
Michigan.
Michigan. Yes, so they are Michigan-based. Yes! 1 point, Mullins.
Speaking of geographically challenged.
The thing is, anything you do that's just ridiculously stupid, we can blame on the drive. That's like the best get-out-of-jail-free card
ever. I'm totally blaming it on this drive.
So anyway, once again, check out the Happy Mitten podcast. It's very enjoyable.
Yes. And, it's Michigan. It's Michigan, the Wolverines. Yes. See, I know.
Yeah, all you talking
know.
About.
They both are an M state. They look alike.
Yep. That's now you're just off the rails. We got to roll this thing back.
All right. Anywho.
Yeah, there you go.
So as I was saying, we were at PAX East in Boston on April 11th, 12th, and 13th. Mike and I actually went up on the 10th to get our booth set up. So yes, Unpub actually had a booth at PAX East. And not just the normal booth. We had a 20 by 20, like, massive conglomerate of space.
Yeah, what was it? They gave us 4 booths, right? Total, like, back-to-back.
Yeah, it was 4 booth spaces, yeah.
Yeah.
And for that, I need to give a huge shout-out and a huge thank you to Ian Shemp, who is in charge of the tabletop area of PAX East. He reached out to me and said, hey, I've heard a lot about Unpub. We want to do, like, an unpublished thing for PAX. Would you be interested in coming out? And he sent me a booth application, to which I replied, Ian, thank you, but there is no way in hell I can pay $3,200 for a booth space.
Is that really what it is?
It's something astronomical like that. And I was like, that's like a lot of money. And he replied back, no, I apologize. I would like to invite you, sans charges. And so I was like, oh, well, then absolutely then we'll be there.
Yeah.
And that turned out to be the greatest decision, I think, so far in Unpub history.
Yeah. It was phenomenal. And also, just about the actual tabletop section itself, just one more, you know, round of applause. It was very, very cool. I mean, there was a huge open gaming space. The way the booths were set up, I mean, there's even tabletop presence in the expo area. Like, it was really impressive.
Yeah, tabletop gaming seems to be, like, taking over PAX East to a bit. I mean, when you walk in the main hall, you're inundated with Microsoft and Wizards of the Coast Magic the Gathering and all the computer games that are coming out, like League of Legends and Minecraft and what was the Wildstar?
Wildstar
is like the big thing. It's not even out yet. I mean, it's video game, which is cool. No issues with the video games. But, you know, you go past that wall and then all of a sudden it's like tabletop paradise. And to see booths that were, like, shunned back to the tabletop creeping up into the main game hall, such as, like, Greater Than Games. They were in the main game hall. And they had an awesome presence there. And they were showcasing...
Their booth was slammed. Like, there was always people playing Strike Force and trying their new tactics thing that's on Kickstarter.
That is still on Kickstarter, isn't it?
Yeah. Which really looks cool, actually. Did you get to play it?
No, unfortunately, I didn't.
Wait, that was a silly question. Did you play any games that... No, we just sat at the booth.
Yeah. Did
you play any games that weren't combative?
Touche, sir. Touche. No, I did play a couple Unpubs, actually. I actually got a chance to play Unpub. Yes, I played the compounded expansion a couple times. Actually, three or four times.
Why?
And then taught a base game because someone had it and they wanted to learn. So I said, yeah.
Absolutely, so. Yeah. It's hard to say no. Plus, I mean, even though your compounded is published, you're Unpub alum, man. You can still pull up some table space, you know?
Yeah, but, you know, it's...
I know.
It's weird to pull out a published game that I'm working on a prototype expansion for because I feel bad because everyone else is, like, busting their chops to bring this out, like, to bring their prototypes out. So that's why it's like, I only pulled it out when people asked for it. Like, they came up and said, hey,
so
I heard you had the expansion. That's exactly what it is.
Hey, it's freezing. I don't want to interrupt you, but I guess I do want to interrupt you. I love interrupting. But I actually think it's a really good thing because you're not a jerk about it. If anybody asks you about the process or talk about the process, you know, it's not like a big intimidating, like, and up in the front we have the real published games, you know. It's like, hey, I came through the system and now I'm coming with my expansion and I'll talk to you about any of this. So, you know, kudos to you for that, that you were really approachable. And I mean, that's one of the reasons that you and Unpub are a good fit, is because you came through and you still want others to come through. So you can absolutely have compounded on the table.
Well, thank you for your permission.
You're such an ass. I'm trying to say something nice.
No, I get it.
Thanks for your permission.
No. Thank you. But
you're
welcome. I did get to play a couple games. And I'm, as with every Unplug, and it sounds so blanket and generic, but every game I played, I've enjoyed.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, you get to see the work that people put into it, and, you know, then you have the game themselves. It's just, it's awesome.
Yeah,
it's great.
One of the things that's actually kind of hard to separate sometimes for me, and I have to really sit down and think about my feedback, is that the Unpub events are just full of, like, good people all trying to make their games better and stuff, and the atmospheres are just really, really good. I just love them to the point that, you know, I'm always hanging out in the design area, whether it's, you know, official Unpub or not. So when I sit down to a game, I almost always walk away with a positive experience. And so I have to stop and I have to think about, like, okay, that was really fun because she was awesome and he was cool and we had fun, we had a laugh, but I got to think about the mechanics of the game for a second, you know? But that being said, there were some cool games that I got to play. So you want to go first or me? Something that you actually played.
You know, I'll go, but I'm going to kick myself because right now I'm in the car and my business cards and everything are on the back. I played one game, and I don't remember the name of it fully. It was the castle game.
Castles of Karagaba.
Yes, yeah, David's game, where you're building, you're a wizard that had his castle destroyed, and you're rebuilding it using a magic, but your magic goes haywire, so it pulls all the castles from all the neighboring villages and builds this you're building like a puzzle haphazard castle that can go everywhere and be made out of stone and wood and clay and have gnomes and raccoons and goblins and fairies and dragons and it's, you know, it was cute. It was fun. You know, initially when you see it, you're like, oh, this looks a little bit like Little Prince Build Me a Planet. But when you start playing it, it's nothing like that because it's far more puzzly.
Yeah, I think my favorite aspect of it was the fact that your castle's never set. You can just deconstruct it and reconstruct it whenever you want. And so, you know, some of you on the listening might wince and be like, oh, that's huge AP and whatever. Well, it's easy. You know, you can just limit the amount of time you can actually spend on your turn. Or you can play the speed game, which was amazing just to watch.
Oh, yeah.
Did you play
speed version? Yeah, we played the normal version first. And then he's like, okay, now we're going to play like what takes about 4 minutes. And I destroyed on the normal version.
That's right.
I love puzzle games. Like, that's like my thing, it seems. And I'm learning that about myself.
Yeah.
But, so he goes, let's do the speed version. And I'm like, oh, okay, I'm going to completely destroy again. And no, Stephanie Strahl just mopped the floor with everybody.
Well, and that's funny, because during the first game, her hands were, like, in constant motion. I actually teased her, and I said that she was playing castles like it was a dexterity game during the, like, main long game. But when it came around to then playing the short game, she's like, her hands were a blur. And she just, like, so what happens is, when you're satisfied with your castle, when you think you've established a decent enough lead, basically, you grab the timer, flip it over, and everybody else has a minute left. So they, until that timer runs out, they have to finish their castles. So it was like, Strahl's hands were like a blur, and then she was like, bam, timer. And you, Daryl, you literally said, what? Because you are not in any way prepared for that.
Again, I expected to be the one to be grabbing the timer first. I was like, I've got this. Blah, blah, blah. Let me build. So it was, yeah. So that game was very enjoyable.
Yeah, that was cool.
In a quarter mile, continue on to Hutchinson River Parkway South.
Okay, I'm not sure if you guys just heard that, but Siri just gave us directions, which I'm going to read back to Mike.
Hutchinson, got it. We're good.
Yeah, it was in 0.3 miles. Okay.
Yep. We also want to leave that on so we can prove to you that we're not lying. We're still here on Hutchinson River Parkway. Isn't that so much more exciting now that you know that we're not like...
Oh, we got to read the sign.
Welcome to New York,
the Empire State, or...
Continue on Hutchinson River Parkway South for 11 miles.
As Siri liked to call her, because it was, the sign said NY State, it was, proceed straight to North Y Street.
That was awesome. We're very easily amused at this point, by the way.
Oh, man.
All right,
so... Anywho, so I'm trying to think, I wanted to play... Oh, there were so many games I wanted to play, but I didn't. And
all right,
let's rewind back. Let's go back to our setup day. We got in Thursday.
Yes.
And the booth was it's unpub, so you know we don't have much when it comes to marketing and stuff. So we have our banner, which we clipped to the pipe and drape that was supplied there.
Yes.
I brought nice a tablecloth. It was very nice. Yes. It was sturdy. Yeah. And it was draped very well.
There was some excellent drapery. Whoever the draper is really needs to be commended.
That's a drape master.
Yes.
So I had a tablecloth that we set up, and then I had the unpub buttons and our business cards and the feedback forms, and at that point, the essentials. Pretty much everything that you would see at like an unpub mini. And that's more or less what I was treating this as an unpub mini. And we already had designers signed up online for all 3 days, and the times were scheduled for them to come in and play. And so that was Thursday. Thursday was pretty easily. We got in, got out to set up.
Right.
What did we do Thursday night? Oh, Thursday night we went to Harpoon.
Yeah, Thursday night. Well, yeah, because we were trying to coordinate with who?
Mike Taylor,
right? And then yeah. Chris Bedell was out somewhere, right? Somewhere.
Yeah, I think Bedell was there as well, but he was there with his volunteer group from Greater Than Games.
Right.
And so we told the taxi guy. We told the taxi guy, take us to the Cambridge Brewing Company. And he was like, is that in Cambridge? And I don't know what I was thinking. I went, I don't know. I think so.
I think it's in Framingham, actually.
Well, it's like, well, yeah, you say Cambridge, and I'm like, I don't know. Like, I don't know the area, so I don't know if it's just a name.
Yeah. Well, I also don't actually know what he said.
Like in Delaware,
all stereotype cab drivers here. I had no idea what he said.
Well, yeah. And in Delaware, like, case in point, why I wasn't sure, because we have Fordham Brewery, but it's in Dover. There is no Fordham, Delaware. So I didn't want him to be like
Fordham, Delaware.
No, there's no Fordham.
So mad when they hear about that.
What, the one guy?
It's like, we're gonna get such angry emails.
He lives on the intersection of North and York Street.
Wow. I really have no idea. I'm gonna just continue to apologize for how I don't know if this is entertaining or ridiculous. So I'll periodically just say, "We're sorry for this entire endeavor that we're doing."
But anyway, so. I told him Cambridge Brewing Company, and he was like, oh, down by the harbor. And I was like, yeah, sure. Okay, so he seemed to know where he was going. A $20 cab fare later, and we end up at Harpoon, a brewery. So I'm like, awesome, this is it. Maybe Harpoon's also known as the Cambridge Brewing Company. So we go upstairs.
Wait, I didn't even think about that much. I was like, great, a brewery. And I was halfway up the stairs. Like, I didn't consider whether they were Cambridge or not.
Yeah, I think you kind of, like, did the...
Hey, we're at a brewery.
Yeah, you, like, leaped out Super Mario style.
Well, I need to get my power up, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we were drinking because sitting in the car. But, so we go up, and I call Mike, and I'm like, Mike, we're here. Where are you? And he's like, I'm at the bar. And I'm like, I'm at the bar, too. Where are you at? And I'm looking around because he's got this glorious beard that you cannot miss. And he goes, well, hold on, I can't hear you, let me go outside. So I walk over to the window to look outside, to see him walk out the front door. And I don't see him. He goes, okay, I'm outside, are you coming out? I said, well, I'm looking out the window, I don't see you outside. And he goes, where are you at? I said, I'm at Harpoon. And he goes, we're at the Cambridge Brewing Company. I'm like, isn't that the same place? And he goes, no.
Well, and that's the point where you turned around to ask me if I wanted to just hop in the cab and go over there.
No, I wasn't going to ask that because after $20, I just looked at you to see what you were doing.
Yeah, so you turned around, and I had a flight of beers and a pretzel in my hand, so I was like, we're not going anywhere.
Yep, and I just said, Mike, I appreciate it, I'll catch up with you at PAX, we're just going to stay here.
Yeah.
And that we did, it was nice, it was just kind of unwinding, it was you and I. We played Frog Flip.
Yeah.
One Jason of us better than the other. And, oh man, what's his daughter's name?
Claire.
Yeah. Jason and Claire Kotarski's Frog Flip. We played that at the bar. And we got approached by the manager because they thought it was a drinking game. So.
Which is weird that he would think that because.
Well, we were just kind of loud when we were missing and getting it right
but
on.
But it was just a coincidence that whenever you didn't hit a lily pad, you got thirsty. And had to take a drink to refuel.
It was
just straight coincidence. It was like 30 or 40 consecutive coincidences.
Well, I was under the impression that my flight was all aiming juice. And it was different varieties of aiming juice.
Right, and then sometimes when you land directly on the lily pad, I wanted you to join in my celebration. So I encouraged you to drink at that point as well.
Agreed.
Yeah, that's basically how I was. No,
Jason's
going
to be so furious.
Why? We're just discussing the environment during which we played. It's wonderful.
You've sullied my family game design.
It's wonderful. Okay. No, so in case drinking while playing isn't enough, we also gambled, and this was my biggest win of the weekend. So it is it's 1-1 in the series, and they were not even close. Like, Louder obliterated me in the first one.
And that was my very first time ever playing Frog Flip.
Right. And so I sandbagged so I could later win a bet. So I should have worn my shirt that says Vince on it, which is a... Yeah, you got
money.
It. Yes, thank you. If you don't get that reference, look it up. So the second one, I just destroyed him. So it's dead even. At that point, I even tweeted at Kotarski. I was like, who you got in this series? And he's like, I gotta go with Mullins. He studied from the master. So we made stakes that the winner of the tiebreaker got to sleep in the next day, and the other guy had to go open up the unpub booth. So have fun, Daryl.
But I had no issue going and opening the unpub booth. I mean, obviously.
It was amicable. I mean, I would have gone down it too. Like, it didn't matter.
Yeah. I mean, well, even if I lost, I still would have went because I was so excited to see how unpub was going to do. I mean, I really had no idea. You know, it's a large, heavily video game-based convention that tabletop, like I said, is starting to work its magic on. And, you know, it's like, well, we have a corner of unpublished games with people with print and plays, really nice-looking print and plays. But, I mean, it was just like, how is this going to pull in people, and, you know, how are people going to react? And let me just say, I was floored.
I was absolutely floored, especially because, you know, I was incredibly grateful for the booth, but we were, like, in the back, somewhere corner of the tabletop area. Like, we were a decent walk from, you know, where anybody would enter. So, at first, I was like, you know, we don't have incredible signage. There's one on Pub Banner. So, you know, I was genuinely worried. I was like, I didn't want to do the whole carnival barker thing and, like, drag people in. And I was like, I don't know, man. I don't know how it's going to go. And for most of the time there, there was a person in every seat and up to, like, 8 games on the table. Like, it was unbelievable.
Yeah, and it up until a little bit after lunch, it was kind of slow.
Yeah.
Games were all being played constantly. But then, like, right around 1 o'clock until the end of the day, which was 6 for us, it was shoulder to shoulder in there. Every single game was being played. Every single game was, there were people motioning, there were people talking, there was networking going on up front for me, and, you know, people taking cards. People never heard of the Unpub Network.
Yeah, that
and
was
we're
really
just
cool.
Yeah, and so that was awesome to help spread the word of the great Unpub, as opposed right. to going door to door. And it was fantastic.
Even there was so much cool stuff going on just with the local community. So a lot of folks from the Game Makers Guild, local group in Boston that gets together a couple times a month, I guess, and they have, like, smaller sessions where they do their thing and help somebody who's got a Kickstarter going. And I actually talked to Jeremy Burnham a lot about this. He did Stack and Attack, and what's the one he has with him now? Ho-Ho-Ho?
Is that yeah, Ho-Ho-Ho. Yeah.
So, I apologize.
Ho-Ho-Ho, yeah.
We're going to record after this. So.
Yeah.
We will definitely forget names and games because, again, wonderful problem to have. So many games hit the table.
Yeah.
Like, it was awesome.
It was.
Even to the point that, you know, we didn't want the booth to look empty, and we did not know how much traffic there was going to be, right? So, in the beginning of the day, I had some protos with me. Eric Handler, who's, you know, basically Unpub staff at this point, had some protos with him. Then you had Compounded. Compounded? You say Compounded, sorry.
Well, I say Compounded.
You say Compounded.
Chris Kirkman goes Compounded.
Yeah.
Like, he emphasizes every syllable.
Yeah. Well, you put the emphasis on the wrong syllable, in my opinion.
I do that all the time.
yeah, so anyway, we're spreading out some of the protos we had with us just to make it look like this was a booth that stuff happened at. And all of a sudden, all the designers started rolling up with the games that they brought. So we were, like, you know, picking stuff up and making space. And it was just such a cool thing to, like, oh, we are really filling up now. We got to take some of these back up. It was awesome.
Well, in a quarter mile, keep left to continue on Cross County Parkway. Follow signs for George Washington Bridge.
Oh, man. I'm so nervous about the G-Dub.
Yeah.
After that 3.5-hour delay, like, if we're stuck in the G-Dub for, like, 8 minutes,
oh,
I'm going to lose
man.
It. If we're stuck for even 8 minutes.
But you know what I'm thinking, though? We might actually, because we're going by...
keep left to continue on Cross County Parkway.
GW goes right by Yankee Stadium, and there's a Red Sox-Yankees game on tonight.
No.
We might potentially have traffic if that game's
continue
out.
Continue for 3 miles.
No, because that was game 4, was the last one in the set, and it was done like 5 hours ago because we've been in the car that long.
Dude, I think it's still going on.
No way.
It's
11:21. There's no way it's still going on.
It's a Yankees-Red Sox game. Time means nothing to them. I'm pretty sure it's played inside the TARDIS.
Well, then in that case, everybody in the cars can also be in there. We'll just sit
it's
by.
Just craziness. And now I'm using my phone, which we're recording on, to see what the state of that game is. And then I'm going to pull up the list of the designers.
Was that a subtle State of Games podcast?
Yep, the game is over. So
of course
the game has ended.
Of course it is.
I don't know what time it ended, but...
In 2 miles, take exit 54NS toward Central Avenue.
54NS. Thanks, Siri.
Unfortunately, the Red Sox lost to the Yanks.
Boo.
I know. Man, can't have all the great things happen to us all the time.
What are you talking about? We've been in the car for 100 hours.
I know.
Somebody should throw us a bone here.
Okay, so... Well, like I said, we had an awesome amount of designers show up all weekend long. And the great thing was we had people that didn't know about us come up and said, hey, I have my prototype with me. I've been trying to play it in Open Gaming. Can I set up here? Because it was obvious that we were getting the attention that they wanted.
Yeah.
And that's awesome. That is our goal. And, you know, we were full, and I was like, you know, come back tomorrow. If we have table space, you're more than welcome to grab it. And we ended up having to cut the tables in half. So there were four, you know, two games per table to make everything fit.
Yeah, because they were much, much longer than they were wide. So it was like four. Yeah, I mean, it was basically the same thing. It was like a four-seater table.
Yes, whatever. Yeah.
But one of my favorite things about the whole weekend was every time somebody like that would come over and, you know, they unfold like a cardboard map and like a baggie of like cut out pizza box pieces, right?
Yep.
Which is exact, like I actually tweeted a picture and I said, hey, a paper map, this is what Unpub is all about. But you know, they're pulling that stuff out and they say, you know, how do we go about doing this? And so of course, you know, I run through registerunpub.net and they're like, okay, well I didn't do that. So I said, well, right there on that table is free. Why don't you set it up right now? And the look of
in
like,
a half mile, take exit 54NS toward Central Avenue.
You know, it was like I said, hey, here's $1,000. You know, like, it was just the look on their faces of just like surprise and delight was so awesome.
Not this.
Yeah, thank you. It was just, that was one of the coolest things for me. Because, I mean, that's why you and I do this.
Yep.
Take exit 54NS.
So cool.
Yeah. But the people that we did have registered, because I have their name, so I am going to to call them out here.
Continue for a half mile.
And Siri's going to continue to interrupt me, so but that's okay. In no particular...
In a quarter mile, take exit 4S toward I-87
might,
South.
Let's just like whistle for a little while.
I know, right? All right, take this to I-87 South.
Yeah, it's one of those things that, like, you're just kind of changing lanes and not really even doing anything, but she just has to keep telling
you. I'm not even sure if they can actually hear her. Like, they just made us hear her go quiet for a while, but if we go
take exit 4S, then keep right at the fork to stay on exit 4S.
Yeah, I guess
she's just rude.
She
is just rude.
It'd be so funny if we're, like, crazy people, though, and they can't hear. They're like, be quiet! And we're just yelling at, like, nothing.
Keep right at the fork to stay on exit 4S.
Keep right at the fork. Yep, exit for us.
Right at the fork, aka this like 90-degree exit.
Yep.
Continue on Central Park Avenue for three quarters of a mile.
Three quarters of a mile, so great. I got about 30 seconds before she interrupts me again.
All right, well, let's instead of doing the list then.
No, I feel like they need to have a name drop.
We're definitely going to do the list. We're definitely going to name drop. I'm just saying, if we're going to get interrupted every second.
Oh, could you take this turn tighter?
Want me to slow down? Here, we can get home later. Here, I'll slow
shit handle.
Down. I'll just make
hey,
sure.
Hey, I feel like we're in Connecticut again.
Go ahead. Nope, open your smart mouth about the driver who's been driving for 75 hours.
No, I'm going to take it back because we are going roughly 1 mile an hour there. That was not Connecticut.
Oh, God. I thought you were going to take back, you give me a hard time. No, you're taking back your own joke. I got it. All right. We're on this road, so start the
list. In a quarter mile, slight left onto the I-87 South Ramp to New York.
All right, I-87 South Ramp to New York.
Got it.
All right, so people we had signed up, and if I butcher your names, I do apologize, but we had Derek Vidal, World Shapers.
Yes.
From World Shapers.
Yep.
I played World Shapers in the past. I didn't get to play the revision that he's had at this event, but I saw it. It looked good. It was played. So,
yes.
You know, hey, thanks, Derek. And Derek also helped out, like, at the booth. So, like,
slight left onto the I-87 South Ramp.
Here's a little...
In 800 feet, turn right onto Vredenburg Avenue.
Cool. Okay, 800 feet. Yep. I mean, if you or I had to step away, he was, you know, quick to, oh, yeah, I'll man it, no problem. You know, keep an eye on things. So, thank you, Derek. Also, someone else who... You know, went out of their way to help, and that was Eric Handler.
Yeah. Well, oh, shocker. Eric went out of his way to be a nice guy.
I know, right?
That's probably the first time.
Now,
my gosh.
We can only make him a Red Sox fan.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. That's the last thing we have to do. Did you play Eric's game, Crush Depth?
No, I saw it, and I was talking to him about it, but unfortunately, no, I didn't get a chance to play it. So he also packed a couple other people's games, too.
Well, yeah. I mean, He's trying to usurp me as a playtester extraordinaire. I'm going to have to find another title for myself pretty soon because he's going to supplant me in the world of playtesting. But no, so his game is really neat. It's a two-player or four-player submarine combat game. And what's awesome about it is that you have basically two teams. You have the Russian subs and the American subs. And... Oh, shit.
Alright. You're right now? We're good? We turned off Siri because we're now on the turnpike. We kind of advanced a little bit. We turned off a bit because she was very loud, and we were just like, we don't want people's ears to blow out, so We stopped, so we knew where we were at, so now we're
yeah, so I guess sorry for the first half hour of blowing out your ears. Anyway, I'm also in that wonderful level of distraction, so I'm not driving well or talking about Crush Dead very well, so let me start over again. It's a U.S. versus Russia sub-battle game, right? And each person controls, you know, one side. But it's so cool because you're doing moves like you're blowing the ballast, so you're rising up in the levels of the water, so a torpedo shoots under you. Or you're like pulling a Crazy Ivan maneuver, which is my favorite card in the whole game, is Crazy Ivan.
There's actually Crazy Ivan.
There's a Crazy Ivan card. It's awesome. But what I didn't get to play, and I guess this is still pretty, this is kind of like a nascent idea he has, but I love asymmetric team games. So, and not just that each team is different, but players on the team do different stuff. So he wants to have one be an aircraft carrier and the other player be the sub.
Ooh.
So the aircraft carrier like has some extra tracking stuff, and they can call in like an anti-sub helicopter, and they have like depth charges and stuff.
Nice.
So like one person is the aircraft carrier and the other is the sub. Oh my god, it sounds so fun. So I can't wait until he knocks that out and gets it like where he wants to as far as a playable version, because that would be four people and one. Oh my god,
that's pretty cool. That sounds cool.
So I was glad I got to play his stuff. And again, he brought like Exit Empires. He brought Pole from Chevy Da. He brought Rusty Ring. He had Les Mis from Nick Ferris, which is just one of my favorite.
Oh, he had Les Mis?
He had Les Mis. I know. I told him that I was going to drug him and take it away. And then I guess Nick did some event down in Baltimore where he was giving away copies if you want or something like that. And I was like, what? Oh my god, I missed my chance. And there was he had a raffle or giveaway at Unpub for a copy.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, no! It's just, if you guys haven't played Les Mis, it's one of the best trick-taking games I've ever played, full stop.
Nice.
So yeah, Eric Cameron brought a ton of stuff. He's the best.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, uber nice guy.
Keep saying that.
Yeah, just uber nice guy.
Yeah, okay, so, yes, thank you, Eric, thank you, Derek, you guys are the best.
Anthony Amato?
Oh, so that's Anthony and
Yeah,
it's Nicole, Anthony and right?
Nicole, yeah, they brought resistors and kobolds.
Kobolds, yeah, and I hate to downplay their game contributions, but their most significant contribution to PAX Unpub came
was actually Nicole doing it.
Well, yeah, it came in the form of Jerry Holkins, aka Tico from Penny Arcade. So, she basically
tackled him.
She tackled him. I heard that he is going to rescind his lawsuit, though, so that's excellent. Nicole, congratulations. I know, but she jokingly said that she just hugs him whenever she sees him at PAX. That's the vibe I got from Jerry, too, is that he's that part of the face of Penny Arcade, that he was just super nice. So he comes over to the Unpub booth, sits down to play their game Resistor, and I actually didn't get to play the game myself, but I sat in and watched that whole game. Oh my gosh. So that is like a super thinky brain burner, but the way I described it was, it's thinky in all the right ways. So it's got like a little bit of a Hanabi vibe to it, that there's all these circuit cards that are two-sided. So I can see what my junctures and stuff do and my wiring and junctures do, but you can see the back of those cards. And on every turn, you have to do three actions. You have to flip one of the cards in play. You have to draw a card from the discard pile or from the draw pile and trash one of them in your hand, or one of them in your opponent's hand, which I think is brilliant.
Nice. Yeah,
because you can see one of the sides.
Ah.
Right? And then you have to also replace one of the ones that are on there. And basically, at the end of every round, if you've connected like your base to the opponent's base, you score a point. But if you've accidentally connected their base to yours, they score a point.
That's cool.
And one of the coolest things is, in that game, there was a round where Jerry was ahead early, so he was just kind of connecting lines. And so he connected Nicole's, but you have to take all three actions. So she had to flip a card and replace a card, all while not screwing up the lines that she had already made. It was so cool. Like, the game is very, very neat. So, I described it as thinky, but in all the right ways. So I really hope that finds a home somewhere. I know they're thinking about kickstarting it. They're thinking about shopping it around. So I really hope they have some luck with that. So, yeah, the game's great, and she got Tico in our booth, so that was kind of rad.
Yeah. And with that said, I want to quick sponsor drop that this car podcast is brought to you by Easy Pass.
Yes.
Easy Pass, because we just entered the north entrance of the Jersey Turnpike, and Easy Pass made this possible without stopping for a ticket and should be installed standard on every single car.
I know. How is it not just something that you have? Whether or not you... Yeah, there should not be cash lanes anywhere ever.
Yeah.
Forever.
Yeah. All right, so that was Anthony and Nicole. The next up was David Wilkinson.
That was Caragaba.
Yeah, that was Castle Caragaba, which we discussed.
It wasn't Yo Gabba Gabba. It's no. Castles of Caragaba.
Yes. He also raffled off the his prototype while he was there.
Yeah, so. Whatever. I didn't win that. So
who cares?
Boo. No, super nice. Like, I love when designers do that, you know, because that gets your game in more people's hands. Plus, it's cool. You get more emails for the sign-up sheet. Like,
yep.
Hey, designers, bring a copy to give away.
Exactly, yeah.
I don't know why I did that voice.
And other people signed up. And, you know, if I don't know what game you brought, I apologize. You saw how, you know, I was talking with everybody else and doing my stuff. And, you know, Mike might know. That's why, you know, I'm happy to have this with Mike, because he was actually able to talk with everyone a little bit more than me. But
I kind of made myself
the booth bunny?
No, not the booth bunny.
You're showing your boobs?
No, you told me I couldn't on the first day.
Your boob hats?
My boob hats. We're not going down that road.
I think I know what the photo for this podcast is going to be.
No, we're not going down that road. Whatever he says for the rest of this podcast is probably a lie. I totally can't think of what I was going to say.
But anyway, so next, Mackenzie Cameron, which I'm blanking on the games.
Oh, yes.
And if I had my laptop up, I could pull everything up.
Right.
But I don't want to get car sick.
Yeah.
So I apologize.
So many games and so many names. So everybody, we forget. We love you. And it'll be in our write-up eventually.
Yep. And on Unpub News later this week as well. Right. Yes, there will be an Unpub News later this week.
Yay.
All right. Next, Zachary Hoekstra. I remember Zach. I talked to Zach.
I'm trying to remember
what Zach had. That's not the first time I've met Zach, so it's like,
Yeah, I wish
Zach,
I'm
sorry.
I wish I had that list. There's so many cool kids. The other thing is, too, is if anybody's not following, shameless plug, at Blue Devil Duke, the only reason I mention it is that I think I got almost every game. Photoed and tweeted a picture of, so you can either look at, at the Unpub and see, I mentioned them in a bunch of them, or, like I said, follow me at Blue Devil Duke and you can see my photo stream.
I need to share the Unpub Twitter password information with you, so.
Yeah, because you're super lazy. I want some more followers, so I didn't want to switch over.
Yeah, you're
303, baby.
I crossed 1,000 at PAX.
Oh, okay. Way to just rain on my freaking parade, louder. Hey, I got the 303. There's no, like, congratulations.
Just call me Morton Salt.
I have three times that plus a little more, Mike.
Because when it rains, it pours.
Yeah.
Anyway. Next up, we had Eli Kaminsky.
Right.
He was there. Michael Batista, Jeremy Burnham,
we talked about that. Game Makers Guild, and I really can't wait to talk to him more and hopefully get something going with the Boston game community, because it seems awesome.
That was a big thing, is a lot of the people that were coming up were local to the Boston area, and they're like, oh, do you do stuff here? And it's like, well, we do stuff all across the country with minis, and so, you know, working with the Gamers Guild that already has an established group, and
it was neat, they brought little, like, stickers that said Game Makers Guild, so you saw a bunch of those guys around, and it just leads to natural questions, so.
Exactly.
Again, like, you know, some little, like, tips falling out of this, anything that, I don't want to say legitimize, because it sounds like, you know, folks that come need to make themselves more presentable or whatever, but I don't know, it just makes people want to ask, like, oh, what's that? What's the Game Makers Guild? You know, so if you have a button, if you have a, you know, anything that somebody can ask a question about, really, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Yep.
Because that started a lot of conversations. That was very cool.
Yeah. So it's Jeremy. Oh, also Glenn and Meg, who are also part of the guild, stopped by.
Yeah. Well,
Glenn, I remember from Unpub 4.
I'm
so
sure a bunch of the folks. Oh, yeah. And because he was going to help out possibly with the coordination.
Oh, Joe Stanziano. Joe Stanziano and his wife Sarah.
Yep.
Who are just awesome.
Yeah, very, very cool.
So they're great. They're friends with Derek and friends of mine. I know them outside of Unpub as well. So good people. He did So Monsters Attack, which was one of the signed games from Unpub 4.
Yes.
So which he brought to fine tune a bit more at the thing, which is fine because it's not out yet.
No, and that's the great thing is that you're gonna see in any you know Unpub event, you're gonna see stuff in all those stages. And that's what I was saying to you. You're worrying about having your expansion to a published game, but that's the whole point. You're getting that tuned. You are testing it and collecting feedback, so don't feel bad about that. Like, it's the whole spectrum. Like,
Mike's still talking.
Hey, guess what? I'm also still driving, so be a little nice.
Yes.
Okay.
Mick Sullivan was there.
Yep.
Matt Golick.
Yep.
Remember Matt?
Yep. I'm just gonna let you run through him because at this point.
And Carlos Coral? I don't remember Carlos.
Asylum.
That's right, Asylum. He brought the RPG.
I didn't get to talk to him, but he did Asylum.
He actually did something really cool that the other designers weren't doing. And granted, later in the day they didn't have to do it. He was there earlier before the crowds really poured in.
Yeah.
But he went out and stood with a notepad saying, "Hey, we need two new players."
Yeah.
One new player.
Yeah.
And that was awesome. And that was a great way to bring people into the booth for his game, but also in the booth altogether.
Yeah.
So that was really cool.
Yeah, and that's something that, not everybody's going to be comfortable doing that, like, personality-wise, we understand that, but that doesn't mean you can't think of a way to get people to sit down.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, maybe you ask a question, maybe you say, like, have you seen this game on Kickstarter? I mean, whatever it is, whatever your hook is, you don't have to go Carnival Bark, which, I mean, Carlos did it very well. He was very amicable, and people seemed really interested, so that's how he got
it. But he also didn't make it just about his game.
Right.
It's like, hey, this is the game, this is the Unpub area, this is what Unpub does, but, my game's Asylum. So he tied it all together in a nice package. It was really nice.
And speaking of nice package, I like the way he had a big suitcase or briefcase.
Oh, yeah, the old suitcase.
Yeah, the old-timey, that leather suitcase with Asylum on the side. That was cool.
Yeah, that was awesome.
That was cool.
And then last but not least, Max Sidman. And I'm trying to remember what Max was about. Max was today.
We
left a bit early because we wanted to get on the road. We didn't anticipate at all being stopped in frickin' Connecticut for 3 hours behind a traffic accident.
Well, I did. I usually assume something bad's going to happen in Connecticut.
And let me stress, I hope everyone in the accident is okay.
Well, unfortunately, we know that that's not the case.
Well, the ones that... It was a very large three-vehicle accident with 14 people injured, but they're calling it a mass casualty accident.
Mass casualty, that's bad.
So I know, but I'm still, the ones that aren't casualties, I'm hoping are okay.
Yes, I'm being a little Debbie Downer because I was shocking to read the little news report.
Yeah. So, so that's the list of designers, and again, I'm going to touch on them much better with photos.
Yeah. And I feel like a broken record, but... at this point, every name you just read sounded like Joe Smith, because I just...
No, I know.
...am bleary-eyed. So, one more final apology. You guys are awesome, and we'll talk about your games more in-depth when I can see. Daryl, I'm fine. I can totally see. You're safe in the car. Right?
Thank you. Yeah. I'm sitting here wide-eyed going, what is going on?
All right, so there is, though, I do want to mention one more game that I played, took a picture of it, tweeted it, and I believe he was another guy from the guild. We may have just said his name, but it was Killer Croquet. Did you see Killer Croquet?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So this is one of those games that's just like, it's just
he
wonderful.
Was part of the guild,
goofy. Yeah. And again, I'm sure that his name isn't listed. I just am totally blanking on it. It's just one of those games that's like perfect goofy fun. So, and if you're not already convinced by the name Killer Croquet, he's got this super red logo, which actually he had a hat with that, or a pin with that logo on it, and I wanted to just like steal it because it was cool. But you sit down and the idea is that you are one of the best croquet players in the galaxy, but you've all been kidnapped to have basically like a croquet death match. So like you get announced like Chanel playing Killer Croquet is the half ghost from the planet, and so like the half ghost has different abilities than the ex KGB agent and different. It's already funny, right? But what happens is you can score points by going through the croquet course, obviously.
Yeah.
But you also score points by messing with your opponent. So when you knock their balls out, when you smash them in the head with a mallet, like you actually have a like if you go on the same space as the opponent, you can attack them. So you win if you either score enough points, which you actually can't do just by completing the course. So you have to get to 7 to win, and you get your first point for hitting the stake when you're halfway done, and then you get 4 points for hitting your stake on the way back, so completing the course. Right. So that's 5. So you have to do something. You have to get somebody's ball. You have to knock somebody out a little bit. So it's cool because it encourages at least a little bit of combat, right?
Right.
But what's neat is that every time your ball encounters something, another ball, a player, the wicket, the stake, you have to turn over a collision card. And so the collision card tells you 2 things. The top one has little icons for what it actually connects with. So, like, you flip one over, and you're trying to see if you hit my ball, right? And it might have a person icon and a wicket icon, but no ball. So you miss my ball.
Yeah.
Same thing. Like, you might be trying to go through a wicket and just might bang off it, and so you miss the wicket. That's the top part. And the bottom part is a direction. So it can either go straight through, it can get, like, stuck in the ground and just dead stop, or it can glance off and go off at a 45, or it can, like, bang off. I forget what the other one is, and go at a 90-degree angle. So, like, all right, my plan is I'm going to smash both my opponent and the ball and go through the wicket, and instead you, like, hit the ball and you just come to a dead stop or something like that. Like, it was just really cool, goofy fun. I recommend anybody that sees it to try it. Like, it's just one of those games that we smiled the whole way through. It was just, oh, maybe my favorite thing, though, is you have 2 dice to decide how hard you're going to hit it. So you can roll 1 die, and it's just soft. You roll a 2nd die, and you're hitting it fair. You can roll both dice to hit it wicked hard.
Wicked hot.
Wicked hot. I was like, you cannot put an R in there. You got to put an H in there.
Yeah.
But he said, hey, it's a Boston game. I said, no. That's amazing.
Yeah.
So those are the two I really got to play and enjoy were Killer Croquet and Resistor were both really awesome.
Nice. And we played, that's the rundown of everything at Unpub Booth. I talked with people like other publishers that stopped by. Well, Chris Kirkman and Stephanie Straw, who we mentioned earlier. They both came up to help us out with PAX, and they hung out at the booth and played a bunch of games as well.
Yep.
I'm sure we'll be talking on the next State of Games for that. So, hey, State of Games, DiceHateMe.com.
I already plugged that. Come on.
I'm just saying.
Or you already plugged it. I don't know.
So Chris Kirkman with Dice Hate Me Games.
Right. Luke Peter Schmidt from Fun 11 came by.
Yep, that's what I'm saying next.
Yep. And so it was cool because he was talking to Nicole and Anthony and kind of helping them out a little bit with their possible Kickstarter plans, because that's just what Luke does. I was telling Nicole that basically Luke wants to see good games get made. Doesn't care if it's by him, you know, so he's a great resource. But he also came over to play a little bit. He played Penny Press.
Oh,
by,
yeah.
By Max.
That's Max.
No, Matt. Is it Matt? Oh, Matt Go Right? That's what it is. Matt Go Right is his Twitter handle.
Yeah, he was one of the finalists, I believe, on the Tabletop Deathmatch, which is the new web series that is put together with Mike, and I forget his last name, the game designer behind Pathfinder, the card game.
Oh, yeah, which who also came by, right?
Yes.
So Penny Press, that reminds me, I didn't play Penny Press. It's basically a game about you're running a newspaper company, and I don't have it exactly right, but it's in, like, the 1950s era, and you're trying to distribute, you're trying to get stories, because you're a beat reporter, you're trying to get stories and distribute the papers, and Luke's response to the game, he tweeted at me, was that it was a great little game, a wonderful representation of that era through a Euro lens, which is, I actually really trust Luke's.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I really trust Luke's, because I actually know for a fact that's not Luke's style of game. Like, he likes stuff that's a little bit lighter and whatever. He's very discerning, and he really liked what Matt had done. So kudos, Matt. I wish you luck with future progress with Penny Press.
Yeah, definitely. What else? Today, Kirkman put out Nathaniel Levin's New Bedford.
New Bedford, yep.
Did you play that, or were you just watching it?
Well, yeah, so that was when you were finishing your compounded, your last compounded, and I didn't know when you were going to finish, so I just sat down because I wanted to play it, but I hadn't. It probably was good that I didn't, because I was kind of burned out.
Yeah.
But I got to sit and watch, like, whatever, 6 rounds, so
yep.
I feel like, I don't know, sometimes I enjoy watching a game as much as playing it, because you still feel like you're invested in the decisions, like, I would have done that, so
yep.
I feel like I have a pretty good handle on it, and it's just, I mean, it is what everyone said it is. It's there's so many decisions that you can make, and not that it's too wide open, which is, you know, a lot of times when you're looking at worker placement games or, you know, collecting resources, building buildings, sometimes you just feel like it's too wide open, like, why would I do that versus that? But it just, I don't know, it seemed really neat, really tight to me.
Yeah, and, it's incredibly tight. It's a nice,
yeah.
It's a great game in a little package.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really the best thing for it, so it looks small, but it packs a big wallop.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, without pandering, I really like the stuff that Chris does with getting his games done with, like, you know, Compounded as an example, obviously, like, the little bits, the boards, all that stuff's done right, and so I just can't wait to see, like, little shit meeples, and, like, I don't know, that's gonna look so gorgeous.
Yeah, it's gonna be sweet.
Yeah.
But yeah, and, you know, I don't want to get in, oh, we went to restaurants, awesome food, it's Boston, of course, there's awesome food.
Yeah.
And we, you know.
Yeah, well, now, I mean, they probably get sick of hearing us talk anyway.
So. Yeah, exactly. So, but anywho, all in all, PAX East, massive success. And, you know, hopefully we'll be back, invited back next year. And other than that, it's kind of gearing up for the next Unpub Mini, which we have one coming up in Durham, North Carolina, at Atomic Empire. And I forget what the other one is coming up. Sorry.
Ask the guy that runs Unpub. He might know.
Yeah, he might. I could look it up here on my phone while recording, but then you're going to hear tap, 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 tap on my screen.
Hey, can I announce my promotion in the Unpub family?
Your promotion? Go on.
My appointment, I guess, not promotion.
Oh, yeah, your appointment. Yeah.
Actually, maybe you should announce my title, you know?
Yeah, Mike Mullins, you know, after everything he's done to help out this weekend and everything, and the ideas he's been feeding and willing to contribute with, so it's like, hey, I'm giving you ideas, but also I want to do this stuff. So hereby henceforth, Mike Mullins is now the Unpub coffee bitch.
You know what? I'm still driving you.
And I told you, okay. I would take over at any point.
I know, but no, you seriously, haven't yet, and you still no. So
seriously though, Mike is Mike's gonna take over as event coordinator. So he's going to help with the Unpub minis and getting them scheduled, and we're working on a plan to kind of revamp and give that a whole new page that is easy for signups, easy to get all the information you need in one quick shot, keep it smooth as possible. Yep. So, yeah.
And really, I just wanted to sort of help you out, because, I mean, you're trying to do so much stuff as far as, you know, already looking at Unpub 5, and there's a lot of neat stuff in the works, good people, so I want to try to take something out of the way, and really that particular aspect of it is just a small slice, so I just wanted to try to help out in that way.
That title bonus is not getting you access to the possible location of Unpub 5 yet.
Oh, I know.
Okay.
While you were sleeping, I went through all digital media that you have. So
yeah, I that's off the grid, baby.
Yeah. I can't believe you chose Tuscaloosa. It's really surprising to me. Unpub 5, Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
It's close to my heart.
It's close to your heart.
But yeah, so
oh my gosh.
So
hey, you know, we talked about baseball. Didn't even mention what happens at the end of a baseball game.
Oh my gosh, that's kind of important. All right, so
of course it's important. It's about us.
So Saturday, I wake up and Mike, Chris, and Steph are sleeping, and that's cool. We had an awesome bread and breakfast, by the way, that Chris found. It was gorgeous, built in 1855, blah, blah, blah.
And of course I was still sleeping because I won that frog flip match.
You did. So, so Saturday, I get up, and I packed up, and I'm heading out, and I figure I'm going to take the cab and back down to the convention center and get ready for the day. And it is so nice. It was a crystal blue sky out. It was 60 degrees, and so I just started walking, and then I kept walking, and then at one point, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to walk the whole way there. So I walked like 3-point-something miles to the convention center, and it woke me up. It got me so alert for the day. I mean, considering how early I got up, and then we went to bed at like 4:30 that night / this morning, I mean, it was awesome. And it was so cool. It was just incredibly refreshing. And walking through Boston, which I just love Boston. It's a beautiful city. Walking through Chinatown and everything. And
But, love Boston. You don't care about your walk that you took. Get to the good stuff.
Yeah, I'm going to. I'm going to. So, but when I woke up in the morning, Mike got up as well. We went down and had breakfast together because, you know,
it's so sweet. We do. You're so sweet.
And I went to the Kickstarter arcade the day before. So I had a pair of Kickstarter die, which
dice.
Were just...
There's two of them. It's dice.
A pair of Kickstarter die.
Pair of dice.
But a pair of Kickstarter die is also correct.
You wearing a pair of pants right now?
You don't even call it pants when it's one. Technically, it's not a pair at all. It's one pant.
So you say, I gotta go get some pant...
That's right.
I'll be back. I gotta put some new pants on. Paradise. Am I with me on this? Paradise.
Okay, fine. A Kickstarter pair of dice. Die. And so they're just normal promotional six-sided dice. And the six face is replaced with the Kickstarter K, their logo. And so, we're sitting down to breakfast. And I pull them out, sit on the table, and I'm rolling them. And I'm like, you know, there's got to be a game with these. The K makes me think of, like, a strikeout with baseball. So I'm thinking, like, what if, like, a two-dice baseball game? And Mike's like, yeah. And so, you know, we're sitting over breakfast just kind of BSing and talking about possible ideas with it. And, you know, how to do it where it's the pitcher and maybe a batter. And, you know, you're trying to get the batter out. And then, but the batter's trying to get a home run or to get a hit. You know, it's very, it was very basic in the beginning. So I start, you know... So, I left, like I said, to do the walk, and I'm starting to think about this game, like this rough idea that we had, and I keep thinking about it, and I'm like, oh, wait, you know, if we bring in another six-sided die that's just plain for the batter, and then maybe one of the two Kickstarter die, I'll color code, so one is like, has two strikes on it and four balls, and the other one has one strike and one ball for the six and one, respectively. So that way you have the 2, 3, 4, and 5 for the speed of the pitch. Yeah, and I'm like, then you have a number 6. Yeah, and the pitcher or the batter then has a 6-sided die, a normal one, and that's the speed of a swing. And so it's like, oh, yeah, so that's it. And, you know, so I'm thinking, all right, so it's just a 3-dice game. Very similar to the game design I did with Sean Pertel, which is Angry Dice, which was just 2-dice, period.
Right, so it's similar because it's...
Just a dice game.
Right, this is 3 as opposed to 2. So
well, it's similar. It was birthed from a pair of dice that I had in my pocket. And yeah, it just went from there.
It actually started very similar because in the most early builds, and it's funny to talk about this because the builds were happening every, like, what, 50 minutes? It'd be like,
yeah.
Here's version 2.0, whatever.
Yeah.
But early on, it was very much just kind of like not speed rolling, not dexterity rolling, but it was just kind of a roll-off.
Yeah.
And so it kind of evolved.
Yeah, it was all right. Well, it's a ball, so you have to roll lower than this, otherwise you swing. And or hey, it's a strike, so you have to hit swing hot, faster than this to hit the ball, or lower than this if you want a strike, which obviously didn't.
Right.
That was very word.
Word making, Daryl.
I know, it's all about the wordplay. Thank you, Jason Mraz. And
I'm yours, Daryl.
I'm so scared. but then it went through iterations, and it was very batter friendly, or favored the pitcher, and then it favored the batter, and it was going back and forth. And the build that we have now, which we were playing in the car in a cup holder, so that tells you how small the game is. We were playing it in a cup holder in the 3-hour traffic jam in Connecticut. Too. Yeah, while driving, sort of.
Well, yeah, because all I had to do, you know, there's a mechanic where you have to try to guess the location of the pitch. So normally you have two chips. One is high and low, high on one side, low on the other side. The other is inside and outside. So, you know, kind of like secret hand, Daryl's going to choose his, I'm going to choose mine, then we're going to show. And depending on how well you guessed the location of the pitch, you get bonuses. So whether it's inside or outside, you get a chance to earn a reroll. So if I pick Daryl's location, I get a reroll. If he fools me, he gets a reroll. And then similarly with the high and low, if you nail the height of the pitch, you get a bonus. So I can plus or minus one to any of my upcoming rolls. So basically what was happening is I was just saying my choice out loud after he had picked his, and then I would drop my dice in the cup, and Daryl would tell me like what they said. So really, I mean, that's all it was. because I still had to make the same number of choices. I still rolled the dice, but it would just be literally played while driving in a cup holder. It was awesome.
Yeah, and it, I mean, it worked. So it's a micro game because what? It's played in rounds, but one round maybe lasts maybe 5 minutes.
Yeah, or less if I hit walk-off home runs, which I did twice.
You did twice, yes, yes, yes. So he says walk-off home runs, which everyone's probably scratching their head. So tentatively, the game was called Bottom of the Ninth. And so that's the whole point. It's the bottom of the ninth. It is a tie game. And as a visiting pitcher, you're trying to get it to go into extra innings because statistically, extra innings, your team will win. But, of course, the home team is trying to end the game as soon as possible because they don't want to lose. So it's all about that bottom of the ninth inning, and that's it. And so, you know, one player plays the pitcher, one person plays the batters, and then it switches, and then you act like, oh, it's the next game in the series. It's the bottom of the ninth.
Right.
So yep. You play best of three and see which team ends up winning. Yep. So.
And that's why tinkering with the balance is important because, you know, normally you think, okay, well, you know, you're going to hit, what, 300 if you're a batter, so there should be a favorable, we're trying to get three hits, we need four hits to get the guy around the bases versus three outs. It should really favor the pitcher in terms of normal baseball statistics. But since there's not really a good way to do, like, a best two out of three, you kind of have to really equal the odds, even the odds for pitcher and batter. So that's been one of the main things we've tinkered with.
And it still slightly favors the pitcher, as
right,
it should.
But it should a little bit, yeah.
But definitely. The batter gets a lot of extra bonuses.
Yep.
So... the pitcher misses out on. So, and then, you know, sitting in the car before doing this, we spitball new ideas and new revisions and new additions for bottom of the ninth. So, we're probably going to get that polished up and put that up on Unpub and probably make a PMP of it.
Oh my gosh, yes, instantly. Yeah. Especially because you don't really need, it's one of those things that you don't have to make dice stickers for it. You can just say that, you know, these numbers are K's, these numbers are your balls, you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
That's super easy, but if I'm sure I can find a graphic designer, maybe, that can make, like, some printable stickers or something.
Oh, man, I hope. No, I don't know. I'll have to look around.
Well, you're a good one. Oh. Hey, now.
On that note, yeah.
Yeah, look for that. It's going to be super fun. We also have a ton of cool ideas about packaging, and, that could be awesome.
You know, we're really just dreaming. It's all dreaming.
I'm totally dreaming, but that's what this is about. That's what Unpub's about. You're supposed to dream.
But it was a game that was birthed within about 6 hours' time, and it went from idea to concept to, and now we're in revision and playtesting. Right. So,
but it actually fully encapsulates Unpub to me because Whitney Martin helped you early on.
Yeah,
right?
Whitney helped. Whitney actually came up with the idea with the tokens.
Right.
Initially, yeah.
Yep. And then Jordan Martin, who's another guy that works with Luke at Fund 11.
Fund 11, yeah.
And he was on the How to Human project. And he is also, they just launched the alpha for Turn Order. We talked about Turn Order. Turn Order needs some more time here. Basically, he and his partners are looking to make a more user-friendly board game community. So something where it kind of provides some of the same things that BGG does, but not
in an online community.
Online community, yes, I'm sorry, online community. So turnorder.com. You know, so you can link to games that you like in your collections, and you can track designers, and, you know, just all the things that you can do. You know, BGG is always going to be great for extensive image posts and forums, and, you know, it is what it is. But Turnorder is going to be more sleek. It's going to be more about users, and it just dovetails so nicely into Unpub. So, actually, I went over to talk to him about, you know, a possible connection with Turnorder and Unpub, and I'm sure, you know, we'll put you guys in touch, too, about what we can do.
Yep.
So we're doing that, and I was like, oh, hey, you got 5 minutes to play this game? So we started playing it, and originally the guessing the pitch thing was binary. You just, like, flipped over a card that said inside or outside.
Yeah, it was just one.
Yeah,
one thing.
And Jordan was kind of like, I don't know. If we're just going to roll dice, why don't we just roll dice and see who comes out on top? And he's like, what if this was, you know, two choices instead of just one? And those choices gave you the bonus. And that's where the rerolls came in. And that just solved so many problems. Because we were thinking about adding all these abilities and stuff to allow rerolls to make a little more interaction.
Yeah, we were like, oh, you get one power per game.
And, yeah.
But, yep. You know, the more... I didn't really want to do that. But this... The idea that Jordan... The seed that Jordan planted...
Oh, my gosh.
Like,
so
fixed
good.
A lot of issues.
Yep. And, like, in one fell swoop, too. Because, you know, we're talking about... We want to keep it micro. We don't want to add more pieces. And he's like, well, you already have an inside-outside token, so instead of adding more power cards or whatever, this and that, just make two. Like, you know, in this case, we went with high and low and inside-outside. It's just, it's very clean. It's awesome. So thank you, Jordan. Thank you, Whitney.
Yeah. So, yeah, so that's bottom of the ninth. Look for that on pub.net. But also, you know, be sure to look at all the other print and plays on pub.net. Don't just look at the one I'm plugging right now because we're driving and we're both exhausted, so we're just thinking of stuff to talk about.
Yeah, which we really should just stop doing. I mean, they've listened to us for long, long enough.
That's true. So, with that said, starting in Connecticut and signing off in New Jersey, this is Daryl Louder.
Aw, this is Mike Mullins.
Saying thanks, guys, and hopefully at some point during the next drive will be the next Unpub download.
Yep, keep on testing, guys.
See ya. No, I gotta hit stop. Still recording until I hit stop. Aw, man. Where's the thing? I feel like a grandparent. How do you use the mouse? All right, there it is.
You gotta include that.
See you, guys.